I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome. I got three words into the show, John, and I got it wrong.
Crap.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with Talk Sport. Will Gavin, John Jackson with me as well. Alex McCarthy was meant to be with us for this show today, but he's too busy packing to go to Vegas.
Why is he going to Vegas, Will?
I think most people who are listening to the show will realise why Al's going to Vegas.
Because he's got chronic gambling debts and he's just going there to make things worse.
That's definitely the place to go if you've got those issues, John.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah,
WrestlingTravel.org, one of the official sponsors of StarCast and of Double or Nothing, are sending Al out there. He's doing a load of work for TalkSport and for ourselves. So expect loads of brilliant content up on the website, up on the podcast, on air, on my show, on Extra Time, all coming this coming weekend. So, I'll be out there from Thursday onwards. We will do, me and Al are going to record, hopefully later today / tomorrow, an AEW preview show as well, which we'll put out on, say, Friday. And then he's going to StarCast and just interview lots of very famous wrestlers. So it's quite exciting.
All that content. Meanwhile, we'll be watching it in your shed. The glamour.
Yeah, indeed. Having hopefully gone to see the Strokes, depending on whether everything's sorted out with that.
That's
or not.
Another story. Oh, dear. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, that doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of Graps. So we can leave that behind.
The jurisdiction of Graps.
Yes, I'm so tired today. So this, if I talk nonsense, let me off. Give me this one.
All good. Right, let's...
Can I just point out that everyone I work with has just gone to Heathrow Airport to fly to Monaco, where they will be spending a couple of days in the Red Bull garage, and then they are having a private 8-seater jet flight back to Bournemouth at the weekend to stay in a 5-star hotel all weekend. What am I doing? I'm doing a wrestling podcast. That tells you that I'm a man of the people.
You really are, John. I've always thought that about you, man of the people.
That or I wasn't invited. Move on.
It's a guestless show today because we've got so much content coming for you. And we've still got to bring you all that stuff from Super Strong Style 16, which we'll have at some point over the next week or so. But we're going to do our Money in the Bank thoughts, talk about the new 24/7 title. Good idea, terrible title, or just terrible all round? We're going to talk about surprise returns on SmackDown of Big E and Dolph Ziggler. Kevin Owens refusing to take part in the Super Showdown. As I said, there'll be an AEW preview, so we won't talk too much about Double or Nothing, but there have been a couple of exciting bits of news around that. Some New Japan, and it's May Bank Holiday weekend coming up, and you know what that means. Lots of graps all over Britain, so we'll do our roundup of Brit Rest action. John, do you have an order you'd like to go in particular?
No order preference. The last wrestling I watched this week, and I have watched quite a lot of the wrestling, which is good for me, was AEW. So, shall we start there?
Yeah, AEW. So this weekend is coming Double or Nothing. We had the announcement of a couple of extra contenders last night in the they're calling it the Casino Battle Royale, instead of the over budget, over the top, or whatever it was called at All In. We know now that Glacier will be appearing from WCW era. And probably more bigger news, Sean Spears, a.k.a. Ty Dillinger, announced in a little funky vignette where What a surprise. The card he drew for his entry was number 10.
Oh, people are never, even though he's an AEW and whatever he does in the future, people are still going to shout 10 every time he does anything that can be quantified, right?
And to be fair, the little line that he delivered afterwards about even when the cards are stacked against you, always better than yourself, a clear reference to his decision to, you know, buck the WWE and go elsewhere. We've talked about it a lot with AEW. I don't want them to just be full of former WWE stars, because then they just become TNA Mark II or Impact Mark II. I want them to do their own thing mostly. But Ty Dillinger had some good in-ring work, and, you know, if it's three or four people, if it's him, John Moxley maybe, one or two others, then I'm kind of okay with it. But if they stack half the roster with former WWE guys, I'm just...
No one needs that.
Exactly. No one does need that.
So the big thing other than that is that it's been announced, and Al tweeted this the other day from our Pro Wrestling Show account, at Pro Wrestle Show, that the TV will be PG-14, right? So that's the same, I understand, as the Attitude Era of WWE, which is good because, you know, like, let's face it, you know, we want something a little bit more leaning towards the independent scene, really. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, especially because WWE, although it's kind of slowly improving, it is still very safe.
Yeah, it is still very safe, and it is still very PG. I was thinking about this when thinking about whether Moxley could appear in AEW. I watched back some of his old CZW stuff, and I forgot what a great deathmatch wrestler he was. And I thought to myself, as much as I didn't necessarily like his attitude towards WWE, when you think about, you know, the interview he did with Austin on the podcast, etc., apparently how difficult he was to work with when he went down the Brock match at Mania, then you started to look through what he'd done before, and you can maybe understand why he never really adapted to life in WWE. So the fact that they're going to be able to get away with more under this TV-14 rating, appeal a little bit more. The fact is, just as a headline alone, it will get people over. I don't think they're going to be doing death matches and weapons in every match. It's like, people remember the Attitude Era because of those, not because of those big moments, but they remember those big moments which you wouldn't necessarily be able to get away with on the PG era, whether it's swearing, you know, bleeding, all that kind of stuff. But I don't think they're going to be CZW. I don't think they're going to be a hardcore wrestling company. I think their products will be much closer to WWE than people expect when they hear that headline.
It gives them more freedom, I guess.
Exactly.
If they want to do that, they can. And we saw Money in the Bank, which we'll get onto in a little bit. You know, Samoa Joe obviously bled quite a lot from his nose, from that broken nose. And the rumours are that the match was sort of cut short very quickly because of the amount of blood. Maybe it's because they tried to cram too many matches into one pay-per-view. Who knows? I like the fact that they're going to have a bit more freedom. And I think, like, in the first ever match, which they've released, obviously, I mean, you talk about having WWE, ex-WWE people in AEW. It seems like now we have one less WWE person in AEW, as Pac seemingly tells them to stick it.
Yeah, so this is the other bit of news, that Pac Adam Page isn't going ahead this weekend. Now, it has been officially cancelled. There is a lot of conversation about whether or not this is a work, and obviously the moment that that Hangman posted the cancelled version of the post on Twitter today, he got replies from about 50 people with John Moxley gifts immediately. And he makes sense. If Moxley is coming, Pac-Man. Pac-Man. I mean, oh my God.
That's just made for it.
Just my nerd.
The revival. This is Pac-Man, and they come out and they literally chase like big food around.
Oh God. Oh, they'd be so good in Kaiju Big Battle.
Imagine. Imagine how over they'd be in New Japan.
Oh yes, that's very good. The fact is that match has been cancelled. Most people are speculating, and nobody's denying it, because Pac wasn't willing to let Page go over when he's holding the Dragon Gate title. He doesn't want to dishonor the company that he returned to at first by losing on a much bigger event than anything they put on, essentially. And I just don't understand how this didn't come up when they first booked it.
I mean, maybe he wasn't intending to hold that championship by the time Double or Nothing came around, and then plans changed there. Could be. I mean, the other theory is that they just wanted to free up space to have John Moxley. But, like, then why would you get rid of Pac when Pac has got so much kind of, so many people behind him and so much hype at the moment? That makes no sense either. Why not make it a triple threat if that is the case? So, I mean, I think the theory of him actually not wanting to dishonour that title does kind of make the most sense. But
yeah.
There's always a curveball somewhere.
And what we did get, as you'll have seen on our Twitter account, and I'm sure all over Twitter and YouTube, is AEW have posted the surprise match between the two of them from WrestleGate Pro this past weekend in Nottingham, where Pac's official opponent was out injured, and then Hangman came out, and they had a pretty solid kind of 15-20 minute, quite high-flying, quite kind of, you know, technical, really exciting match that... I mean, I said it to you within 2 minutes of starting it, there's going to be a screwy finish here because of everything that's been speculated about. There's no way one of those guys goes over clean on a Brit Rest show in Nottingham, but it was, you know, it was really entertaining. And so it's cool that AEW continue this thing of engaging all of the other, indies and getting involved and kind of hyping their brand with the hardcore fans.
It really does. I'm really annoyed, actually, because I was meant to be going... It was on Sunday, I think, and I was meant to be seeing my mum this weekend, who lives in North Leicestershire. And I actually saw the poster for that wrestling show, and I thought, you know what? If I'm not working on Sunday night, I could probably swing by that. And I didn't. And then that happens. I can't catch a break, Will. Cannot catch a break. But I think it was good. We watched the match. I watched it last night, and you watched it this morning, didn't you? And I thought it was really good. There's some really nice spots there. The crowd loved it. Commentary team, though, and we talked about this before, why do they all shout, Will?
Yeah, we need to have an understanding of light and dark. I rewatched Super Strong Style 16 Day 3. Well, I watched it officially. I rewatched it as in we were there
the other day. You watched it without the blanket of alcohol across your eyes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And not everyone is a huge fan of the Progress commentary team because they find Glenn's delivery occasionally over the top. And I can understand that. It's personally not an issue with me. But what he does do is light and shade. What he does do is calm and build and fills in the right moments with story. Doesn't feel the need to talk constantly. And that's the craft. You know, if the crowd are losing their mind over something, you don't have to necessarily be shouting over the top of that. Sometimes letting the crowd react is enough. So I don't want to bury these people, but I just a bit of light and shade, not screaming after every decent move.
That was it. And I think when you're seeing such a good match, it becomes more apparent, the commentary, because it was kind of sort of almost overbearing when I'm trying to just enjoy what I'm seeing, if that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I've never tried it, so I can't exactly diss it in any way, but it was very loud. It was like listening to you just shouting your head off when you've had a drink and at a house party, and, you know, Will, the loudest voice in South London.
I once made a girl cry at a house party because I was so loud.
Yeah, I can understand that. Imagine being hungover around you. Not only do you wake up at 6 a.m., whether you've been up all night or not, just that voice.
Well, this is it. I've been up. And fairly so. I'd been up all night and we'd been out in the garden, you know, just hanging out. It was quite a remote location, but someone who had work on Sunday had gone to bed at a semi-reasonable time, you know, 2-3 o'clock or whatever. And once we'd come back inside at 6 a.m.-ish and we were chatting in the kitchen, she came downstairs in tears asking me to shut the Jeff up. So,
oh dear.
That was Jeff for those listening on Medium Wave.
Skype, Medium Wave, possibly.
Maybe. Who knows? I've watched two bits of wrestling this morning.
Go on.
I watched that. And I've got lots of the Super Juniors to catch up on from New Japan. And there's not been a lot of more New Japan news outside of their Rev Pro guys, the Los Inignoables guys coming over for their Rev Pro show. Oh, their Rev Pro have announced a show the night before the royal appointment, or whatever it's called, at the Copper Box. So there's going to be a Rev Pro show where you imagine a lot of the stars of New Japan are going to turn up and probably have some multi-man tag matches. So keep an eye on that and the ticket, and grab a ticket for that. But I've got lots of the Super Juniors to catch up on, but I did watch one match this morning because I saw Wrestling Twitter going nuts about it and figured I'd go and give it a go. And the biggest shock of the tournament so far, hashtag spoiler alert, the new leader of Block B is El Fantasmo.
Oh, I love El Fantasmo. ELP.
The newest member of the Bullet Club, and he went to the top of Block B by going over on Will Ospreay.
What?
Yeah, who had looked absolutely untouchable in the previous three matches. I mean, three great matches. He's not had anything sub four star so far, but he, a brilliant main event, really well laid out. It was definitely Fantasmo's best performance that I've seen in that promotion so far. Ospreay was absolutely brilliant, but there was a really good injury work on his neck and Fantasmo working on that. And the home stretch was just counters and near falls and high flying. And it's one of those that for ELP, as we'll call him because it's easier, he gets
help.
A huge
That's what people say when he's got him in a headlock, yeah. Good. I could tell we both thought that at the same second. Help, help, I hate dubstep.
He gets a huge amount out of that win, but with Will looking so good despite the defeat, and I'd still be surprised if he didn't end up being the guy to come out of Block B eventually.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense to have done what they've done. So I loved it. Absolutely loved
it. Nice, you've been very productive with your watching of wrestling this morning.
Yeah, well, we got delayed in the podcast, so I figured I might as well watch some wrestling.
Yeah, that's very true. There is a man waving at me now. I don't know who he is. I think he wants me to leave. Will he go away? I tell you what, will he go away? Find out after this.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, he didn't need to come in the end.
You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Show with Talk Sport at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter and Instagram. There we go. Loads of videos coming from AEW this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
He might come back again, in which case we'll have to pause again.
He might come back again, and if he does, I've just checked the records, and he's not in the studio till 4. It's currently 3:25. He can sling his hook.
Let's crack on then. Before we get to the WWE stuff, let's just finish off with a roundup of BritRest. And it's bank holiday weekend, so there's some really exciting British indie wrestling coming up this weekend. As well as Progress putting up Super Strong Style, which we've mentioned, they have their next edition of their post Super Strong Style fun comedy show, which it seems they're going to do every year now. It's become a tradition. This year, was it 1978 last year? And it's 1988 this year. So expect a lot of neon, a lot of Dayglow, a lot of, a lot of silliness and fun. It was great. It was genuinely great.
I think it's my favorite ever Progress. It's not my favorite. My favorite match was a different one, but I think it was my favorite ever Progress. It was just, I remember Nina Samuels and Isla Dawn came out, and that was that the first time they'd both been in it, or at least Isla Dawn had been in it. And it was just like, it, as I think Jim said to someone who was moaning on Twitter that, oh, why don't you properly announce it instead of doing like fake tweets from a fake guy that doesn't exist? And he was saying, look, after having to coordinate 3 days of Super Strong Style 16, we just want to do something that's fun, and this is like the sort of fun place to do it, you know, and everyone has a laugh. There's no huge names on the bill. I mean, there's sometimes huge names turn up, but there's no like imported, as he said, you know, and to be honest,
I mean, Matt Cross turned up last year, which was pretty cool, but
I mean, yeah. But the point is, they don't announce it because everyone, you know, like everyone's there for a laugh. They're not there to see certain people. And I think with Progress, of all the audiences, they're very lucky in that, you know, they're quite a hipster thing, there's a lot of hype around them. They, you know, people just go because it's a great show. They don't tend to go because, you know, ex-WWE person is on the bill type of thing. Whereas I know a lot of other independent promotions have to sort of rely on that because the audience isn't quite as sort of sold on the product all the time or whatever. And I think, you know, I think why not just go and not know what's going to happen and enjoy yourself?
They do, like you say, from the Jimmy Barnett at Mr. J Barnett on Twitter, put out match hints. There's one which it's very, very obvious what it is. The rest of it, I can't figure out anything.
Anyway, is it Tony Six? Is that the obvious one?
Yeah, so the obvious one is Tony Six, spelt like, you know, hair rockers,
six, yeah.
Against Candy Lauper is going to be Candy Floss against Tony Storm.
With a ginger wig, hopefully.
Yeah,
oh, she'll God, definitely come out to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I'm just predicting it now. I mean, it's obviously going to happen.
And bringing the sheep whacker cousins back, I assume, is going to Trav and those guys doing doing their shtick. But outside of that, there's not a lot of the rest of it that I can figure out. I think the sheep whackers was one of the real highlights of last year.
It really was, actually, wasn't it?
That was very, very funny. And I'm most excited about having Doctor Who taking on Marty Fox in a battle of the time travelers.
yes, I have no idea who those people are going to even be. I don't care. What I would like is for Doctor Who to keep regenerating and someone else just, like, the lights go off or they go under the ring and, like, a different Doctor Who comes out, because that could be really funny.
If they are not doing that, then they have, in fact, message DM them now on Twitter. Let's make
well, I'm
make
texting
sure that
Glenn
happens.
Now. Make that happen. Even if Will's one of the wrestlers and you're Tom Baker. Just for like show, you don't get to take any bumps.
ICW, their massive King of Horners show, as it's bank holiday weekend. There's still tickets available for the Garage Sunday and Monday. It's the new, first ever King of Horners over 2 days, which is a six-man tag tournament, but also there is going to be Joe Coffey against Josh Terry in a Zero-G championship match. You're also going to get Viper against Anastasius. There's some really good stuff in there that's not... Oh, also Johnny Storm and Jody Fleisch hooking up, two of the real old-school names of British wrestling.
Oh, that's a bit
not
different.
Hooking up.
Oh, right.
Tagging.
Right, got you.
So there's loads of cool stuff to see on that show if you're in around Glasgow this weekend. There's an unbelievable show going on at OTT this weekend in Belfast. If I'd seen this in advance, I'd have been like, let's go to that. But we're not.
Is it better than watching The Strokes with a bunch of hipsters in London?
Maybe not. But you have got Mustache Mountain against the besties in the world.
Nice.
And you've got...
Oh, that's the battle of Sledgehammer versus Savage Garden, isn't it?
Sledgehammer versus Savage Garden is not what anyone expected to see this weekend.
That's so good. Sorry, who else?
Devlin puts his title up against Jake Atlas. You've got Tucker against Walter, which I think should be really good. There's a couple of women's matches which look excellent. So that just looks like a really good show. It's Defiance, big show this weekend. Their No Regrets show. I think it's their biggest one of the year.
Yeah, I think it was last time, yeah.
It's where they do the 30-man Rumble. You've got Rampage against Mark Haskins for the title. Lizzie Styles against Lana Austin for the women's title. David Starr against Gabriel Kidd, which should be really good fun based on what they're doing at the moment. SCC against Team White Wolf for the tag titles. And Simon Miller getting his revenge against John Klinger, hopefully,
nice.
Finally. So, again, really, really with the No Regrets Rumble going on. This was the other bit of Brit Wrestling I wanted to talk to you about, though.
Go on.
So IPW next week are doing, they've got a show next week, middle of the week. I'm just trying to double check exactly when it is. It's got David Stargardt against Sha Samuels in a rematch for the title. You've got, I'll tell you where it is. Oh, I can't tell you where it is because it doesn't tell you on the website. Here we go, in Canterbury on the 29th.
I had my first ever Wagamamas in Canterbury.
Brilliant. Your LAX against
Yaki Udon, if in case you're wondering.
LAX and Anti-Fun Police going up against Pretty Deadly for the IPW Tag Team Championship in a triple threat table match. It looks like a great event anyway, but here's what I wanted to run by you. IPW have decided to bring in new rules for their shows, and I'm intrigued at what your thoughts are on this.
Go on.
Singles matches will be done by weight class, so 205 under or over, lightweight and heavyweight, and normal singles matches will take part in 4 5-minute rounds. Now, with all of these, it's still if you pin someone, if they submit, if they DQ, the match is over then anyway. But if it just goes to the time distance, there are going to be three judges at ringside who decide who wins. Championship bouts will go for 12 5-minute rounds. Tag teams will be a 30-minute tag team limit. And IPW, whilst being the sanctioning body, there will actually be four enterprises, they're calling them. So essentially stables, right, which the wrestlers will come from. They're going to do weigh-ins on the day. They're going to do post-match interviews in the ring. They're essentially trying to do a sports version of wrestling. And I think I like it.
I don't like it in the slightest.
Oh, really?
No. I just
there was a really good hype video for it, and I thought, and it's something just, you know, somebody doing something entirely different. I thought that was cool.
Show me the hype video and I'll reconsider in the next podcast. But to be honest, I just think it's unnecessary. I don't need to see, I don't want to watch wrestlers weighing in. Like, I don't really like, oh, I just know. I just don't. There's too much faff around it. Do you know what I mean? Let's just have action.
You still get action. You just get a different type of
taste. What are you eating?
I wasn't eating anything. I had my beard comb in my mouth.
You're so weird. I'm
just hoping that you were chatting. That's all.
I'm open to new things, but I'm not.
It doesn't sound like you.
No, I am. I am. I'm just giving you my instant reaction that I'm not so keen on that. But you know what? Like, if they're doing something different, and you know, it might be a stroke of genius. They might do this, and it might be brilliant. They might really hit the nail on the head. They might combine the kind of technical side of boxing with wrestling and making it, as you say, more of a sport. I know that AEW are doing their sort of wins and losses kind of table ratio, whatever you want to call it. So hats off to them for trying something different, but I am still yet to be convinced.
Right, let's get into the WWE. This is where we were going to break and then do our WWE.
No, we've already had the break. When that man started waving at me. Little man. Don't know what his... I honestly still don't know what his name is. Little man, very well dressed. So, if he is listening, if you're that man that was waving at me about 10, 15 minutes ago, I like your style, but nice. You're not in till 4 and it's only 25-2.
Right. Money in the Bank.
Yes, I didn't watch this live, which I always hate doing because I'm a little bit addicted to social media. So every time I think I've not seen a spoiler, I'll literally go on Instagram and it will do that annoying thing where it refreshes and shows you the most appropriate thing for you. And of course, at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning, that's always going to be whatever's happened in a pay-per-view. So I kind of saw it all before it happened. I think I enjoyed it. It kept my attention for the whole show.
I think it was an enjoyable show overall. I think there were a couple of low points and some very high points. I think there was absolutely no mistake whatsoever in having the Bayley cash-in happen exactly 5 minutes before Game of Thrones began, because they were genuinely concerned over the idea that Game of Thrones would take away from all of their ratings. I don't think it's such an issue in the network era. I don't know why they'd be worried, but I do think that timing was on purpose. Look, we can... There's plenty we could rattle through on the card, and there were things in there, you know, Shane and The Miz, I don't want that to continue.
No.
He said he's done with him after the cage match, and he's on to Roman Reigns for Super Showdown, but then there was still some interference and some nonsense, so who knows? Ray going over Joe with the screwy ref finish, I think, was done on purpose, but then Ray's injured, so it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. But
they've obviously bought themselves some more time, haven't they, by saying that they'll address it next week, and all the rumour sites are saying that Ray has been spotted in Connecticut or wherever they do their medical stuff, so that could throw a spanner in the works. Is Dominic, his son, I don't know, does he wrestle under the name of Dominic?
Is he going to turn out to be Samoa Joe's son? That's the... Because he does look a lot more like Samoa Joe.
No, he looks like Ray. I just can't believe how tall he is compared to Ray. Like, Ray... I don't know what Ray Mysterio's wife or ex-wife, girlfriend, whatever looks like, but she must be a giant.
Do you remember the original Dominic Ray Mysterio stuff back in the day? Did you see all the stuff that happened then with the...
No.
Essentially... basically, Dominic is his real-life son, but then there was this whole thing with Eddie Guerrero threatening to reveal that Eddie Guerrero was actually his biological father.
I do remember that.
Then revealed it, threatened to take custody of him. So they had a ladder match for custody of Dominic, basically.
Yes.
And I was just wondering whether they're bringing that storyline back round again.
They're bringing something back, aren't they? I mean, Dominic has apparently signed a contract, hasn't he? But I don't know how good he is as a wrestler, if he's going to train for a bit or what. But
I heard on a Jericho podcast a while ago, which Rey Mysterio was on, which was, funnily enough, the Eddie Guerrero special from the cruise, they were talking then about the fact that Dominic had been training and working, and like they discussed the fact that he was looking at going into wrestling. So clearly it's been in the works for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's other stuff we can gloss over. Reigns, Elias, whatever. The Cruiserweight title match, it was so disappointing that it was the worst Cruiserweight title match of the last year when they finally get a shot on the main
That's
card.
That's so weird, isn't it? Putting Daivari on the like in that a match featuring him, who I've not been that fussed about ever, putting him in that match that then featured on the main card. And then yet you don't have Daniel Bryan against the thingy fellas, whatever they're called.
The Usos.
That's the ones. The Usos for the titles. Like, that didn't make any sense.
Oh, and look, champions getting beaten in a non-title match against something that we really need to stop doing. So let's just talk about the big ones. Seth Rollins and AJ Styles is just an absolute banger.
Yeah, absolutely.
The reversal of the curb stomp into the catch in midair to do the Styles Clash might be better than the WrestleMania 31 reversal. The curb stomp into the RKO.
It was a beautiful thing, wasn't it?
It was so smooth. These two are really special. AJ Styles did an interview this week where he said he was surprised how early that match has happened. Give me more of it. Inject that into my veins.
I also watched Lacey Evans and thought she had some pretty tasty moves as well. There was one where she like jumped from the outside of the ring on the apron over the ropes into some, I think it was some kind of, I don't know, takedown. Was it a DDT? Probably wasn't. What was it? Don't know. Standing bulldog. I don't actually know wrestling moves as much as I watch it. I just kind of go, oh, that was pretty. But she did that on Becky, which was really good, and she really nailed it. So I like that.
So shall we talk about the women's?
Yeah, the first thing to say you're about very it smug. Is
I nailed it to a T.
The first
I
fantasy book
called
you got right.
It word for word what was going to happen. I said, just to recap, that the Money in the Bank winner would win the second title that was put on the show, that the first title would involve a finish that would mean that the heel would get involved later, and I even called the way around it, but I said it'd be Lacey, then Charlotte, and so Charlotte will briefly hold the title. But my thinking was that if it was that Becky, they could have still had Becky win that second match and put her over, have her win both matches, but have a heel come out with the Money in the Bank. But it's just perfect. Bayley, the long-term storytelling, the four horsewomen finally putting a title on her. I really like the stuff they did on SmackDown, teasing the possibility of her and Becky, but also it was a decent match as well. I'm a big fan of all of it. Booking wise, I did think both matches were a little rushed, and both matches had a bit of a crap finish, and they were good matches where the finishes let them down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying. There was some good action, but then when it came down to it,
I mean, Becky basically, before she gets the disarmer on Lacey Evans, is cradled for about a six count.
And the guy's like, oh no, that's not meant to happen. Hang on, I need to count. Oh wait, no, she's moved it. It's like, yeah, it just wasn't smooth, was it?
And then Charlotte was clearly cradled for longer than a three count. Doesn't kick out. The referee doesn't count it. And then Charlotte just pins Becky.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? It's like they're focusing so much on getting the sort of in-match action right that the finish that they probably think they know isn't quite as down as they could have it. I don't know. Maybe that's how they've approached it. I don't know. No, I mean, I'm first of all, congratulations on completely getting it right. I was very impressed with the reception that Bailey got because, I'll be honest, I haven't seen a lot of Bailey in action recently because when those matches have been on, I've been either, if we've been watching it live, been at the bar, in the toilet or pressing fast forward because I've just not really been that interested. And the pop she got was impressive. I wasn't expecting that. And obviously when she won, people went nuts. I still think those bits of folded up paper, which say the hugger section, do look crap. What is that all about? And then I think they have the man ones as well.
I think what it really shows is that if WWE want to absolutely make someone, as much as, you know, opportunity needs to be presented and somebody needs to take it, absolutely. And there are a lot of examples of people saying, you know, oh, so-and-so didn't get enough of a push. I didn't like that they didn't get enough of a push. But when you looked at it, you went, well, did they do enough once they got their opportunity? But it just shows that if they want to make somebody, they can do it in a night.
Of course they can.
Bailey winning Money in the Bank and then going on to... And, okay, there was some build to it when they first did the Charlotte against Bailey for the title shot. But it just... If they really push Bailey in the right way now and don't do, like, there's a rumor that they want Charlotte to get to 17 titles while Ric Flair's still alive so that he can be there to celebrate her victory.
Yeah, that could be a task.
Which would mean, well, yeah, it means basically she's going to have 8 title reigns in the next 12 to 18 months, probably. Which means probably a lot more occasions like this where she holds it for not very long and then loses it. I think it'll make her look a joke, personally, but...
Yeah, it's not good. Don't rush it. Why rush it? She's like,
it's a
she's
fun
not
headline
old.
Number. I mean, yeah. And here's a morbid thing. Having it happen after Ric Flair's died would be a massive emotional moment.
Yeah, of course it would.
Like, why rush it now when it would be amazing in 5 years' time?
It is a bit weird that they sort of write these things based on will that person die and will it be a bigger headline. It's a little bit weird, but I'm sure weird things like that happen in all kinds of different entertainment, really, don't they? So, not just wrestling.
Outside of that, Kofi Owens was kind of fine, but I never really bought into Owens winning that match. It didn't feel like it was going to happen.
No.
And then the men's Money in the Bank. Now...
Yeah. Finn Balor took some good hits.
Oh, didn't he? Balor was excellent.
Yeah.
I thought Andrade was fantastic.
Yeah, very good.
I thought Baron Corbin, do you know what? The two choke slams, the catching... did he catch Andrade into the deep six or Ali? He caught somebody as they dived out of the ring and deep six them immediately.
I want to say it was Ali, but...
Slingshot. It might have been Ali. Like, basically, the small guys took amazing bumps. Randy Orton was really good in his, you know, bastard heel version.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ricochet had some great spots. Like, everyone worked their asses off, and it was a really good match. And I still think that 6 is the most you need for a Money in the Bank. 8, you do get people laying around. With the women's match, it was fine, but it was a bit clunky at times.
And if you're there, there's just people lying there kind of, like, clearly waiting for their moment. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of shot.
So I think if you ask me about the first 18 minutes of that match,
yeah,
I would say it's the best Money in the Bank since the first ever one at WrestleMania 21.
Okay, big words. Big words.
The flow was fantastic. There was never a drop moment. There were never spots that didn't work. It came together really beautifully. The finish... Initially, I was like, right, I think I might be okay with this, because if they book this correctly, this could be really interesting. I know Money in the Bank should be used to put new guys over, and I would rather have seen it on Drew or Andrade or Sammy if he'd been in the match in the end. But I was kind of like, okay, if they're not going to go on one of those three,
no.
I can dig it. I can dig what they're doing. And then I remembered Super Showdown. And then I remembered that the real reason they're doing this is because the country of Saudi Arabia is paying them $50 million. And because they're paying them so much money, they want Lesnar, they want Taker, they want Goldberg. And essentially, this is going to set up for either either Brock Kofi or Brock Rollins in Saudi Arabia, cashing in the Money in the Bank. And that is a wasted opportunity when that is a match you could have booked anyway without having to use Money in the Bank. You get the big moment, you get the big swerve. It's a dramatic moment that people will remember. But if they've only made that booking decision for money,
mm-hmm.
then I'm disappointed.
Sorry, the Hollywood actor Will Arnett has just emailed me, which has slightly put me off. Do you know why it's put me off? It's because his image on Google Mail is a panda.
Glorious, of course it is.
I don't know why. Anyway, enough of that. I was actually reading, Kofi has just been announced who he's facing at Super Strong Style, or whatever it's called. What's it called? Super Showdown.
And he's facing Dolph. That
and he's facing Dolph, and that makes sense why Dolph Ziggler's suddenly come back for no reason, because Kevin Owens, who he's been going up against recently, you told me before we started recording, has apparently said he doesn't want to go.
He's refused to take part. Now, there's been no further reason as to why. We obviously know that Daniel Bryan hasn't done it before. Be interested if Daniel Bryan does do this time, essentially because he thinks whether he'll see it as in character to go there, but because of their reliance on oil, does it really work with the character? I don't know. That'll be fascinating to see if he does it, whether it was a personal morals thing or whether it was a character-driven thing before. Mm. Sammy doesn't do it for very obvious reasons. And the kind of rumor and conversation, because there's been no official word on it, is that Kevin Owens is essentially not doing it to support Sami Zayn,
sure,
because they are real-life best mates. And I think that's great.
Was Kevin Owens injured for the last one? I think he might have been.
Yeah, I think he was. I'm not going to watch it.
I'm just not. The thing, and I know when I ask you what you're going to say, but the thing that really got to me about this, because yeah, okay, morally it's dodgy, but you know what? It's a wrestling show. Try and forget about that. The thing that has really got to me is how protective, and certainly we've been to WrestleMania and we've done stuff behind the scenes with WWE at WrestleMania, and we know the great lengths they go to protect the WrestleMania event, the greatest state, the grandest stage of them all, and all that. And in this, in the adverts, and even the commentators when they're discussing it, have said it's as good as, or possibly better than WrestleMania in the advertising. And that tells you, after how many years they've spent trying to protect that name and make WrestleMania the pinnacle of what they do, that shows how easily money will sway their advertising and sway their entire moral thing and ruin something, in effect, that they've been building up for 10 decades. Do you get what I mean?
Everything that has happened over the last... Everything bad that's happened in WWE over the last 6 months, even year and a half, as much as Vince McMahon will get the direct blame, and should probably get the direct blame, the booking... The Vince McMahon booking has always been what he likes, and there's been a lot of people who have disagreed with it. Okay, that's mm-hmm. one thing. The fact that these decisions about switching brands, about bringing in the wild card, about bringing back legends and not actually having things done, in the right way, in air quotes, all of that stuff has just been done to satisfy either Fox, their current networks, or that Saudi money. And while they keep making creative decisions based on who's going to pay them the most, the audience is going to keep going down, and actually that's going to affect their ability to earn going forward. They need to stop thinking so bloody short term and start to think with a bit more long term thought, because it's getting to the point where even those of us who cover it and enjoy it and love going to watch it live and find the good things in these events again, I genuinely am not going to watch Super Showdown.
No,
I don't want to watch a 50-man Royal Rumble. I don't want to watch Taker Goldberg.
Oh, I mean, is anyone excited about
Triple
that?
H Randy. Like, I'm not excited about watching old guys who can't really wrestle anymore wrestle.
Yeah, just watch NXT. Let's just watch NXT old reruns or NXT UK or just anything. Let's just do that in solidarity for Sami Zayn. Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I'm just not hyped for it. I've said this recently, like, I do love the independent shows where, you know, like you said, like OTT and some of the progress stuff, where there's a big story and there's a reason these people are going up against each other and you really buy into the emotion of it, you know, because, you know, it ain't real. So if you've got a story behind it, it's a piece of art, it's a piece of entertainment. When you've just got something that you know has been thrown together, there's people going up against each other for no other reason than some sheik wants to see Goldberg and The Undertaker because he wants to be able to say that these two legends faced each other for the very first time at my event. That's great, mate, but they've both been pretty naff for 10 to 15 years and no one actually other than you really cares and no one's actually that impressed, mate. That's what I think.
Let's just quickly run down the TV stuff this week. And we've got to obviously talk about the 24/7 title.
So, right, there's been a lot about this, hasn't they? Saying, oh, but it's basically the hardcore title, but it's not hardcore. Well, they're not going to bring a hardcore title back because it's a PG product. I, at first, wasn't sure about this, but actually, thinking about it and thinking of, you know what, they're thinking of something different. They're thinking of something that, you know, you could be sat at work and it might pop up saying that, watch now, Baron Corbin's just taken R-Truth down in a Starbucks line while he's been waiting for his mocha, and there's a referee.
Like, everyone's, do you know what? Everyone's on the jet out to Saudi Arabia and the 24/7.
Oh, they should do that.
18 times.
They should do that. That would be so funny. That would be really funny.
Big E fell asleep in his first class chair.
Yeah.
And Xavier Woods lay on top of him to get the pin.
Sorry, is Big E the champion?
No, I just picked out a name.
Oh, fine. Good. I thought it was still R-Truth.
It's not going to not change hands again before the 7th of June.
To be honest, like, I think as long as you see it as being kind of like a, let's say a modern title, does that make sense? A digital age title?
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I think the thing looks horrible. It's a terrible looking thing. I don't like that Chaos title. Is it, what's it called? What's that brand called? The promotion? You know, it's like a yellow, really round and really yellow and looks really cheap. It's in like a Comic Sans, it's like a Microsoft clip art kind of font. And I'm just like, oh, that's not good. It looks like that.
I didn't hate the title itself as much as everyone else did. I didn't think it was great, but I wasn't
buy
like
it when you had a few too many daiquiris at a live event. No,
no, exactly. I wasn't vomiting everywhere, but I also would never touch the thing unless they give me a chance to win it, and then I'm all over it.
Yeah,
then it's the best belt ever made. But
I've seen fans, Will, saying if you buy that replica belt when it's available, don't think I ain't going to challenge you if I see you with it. I like that.
That's very good. That's very good. I would say my only real problem is that the actual stuff around it on Raw was dreadful. The fact that it was just whoever grabbed it first led to a real cluster chuff of a match. Just wasn't having it at all.
No.
But I am with you in the social, with WWE's social footprint and in the digital age, they could do some really fun stuff.
I think it fits. It's cool. I don't mind it.
There was some good wrestling on TV this week. Go and watch the Usos against the Revival. Two good tag teams, given time, no screwy nonsense, no comedy. It was good fun.
Why have the Revival suddenly not been taking the mickey out of? Do you think someone backstage, Triple H, has put his foot down and gone, look, you can't keep making these two dudes look stupid?
I desperately hope so.
Yes, good.
Desperately hope so. I would say Cesaro Ricochet had its really great moment. Big E coming back was, you know, everything from continuing to be thirsty for Becky's mum to chewing on a random box at one point to just, like, those guys have so much fun with what they're doing. I absolutely love it. Ali against Andrade was a banger. Like, there's some good stuff this week. It's not all negative. There is still good stuff, but just sort yourselves out, WWE. Stop thinking about that Saudi blood money.
Oh, it's terrible. By the way, something I forgot to talk about when we were talking about the independents. Are you enjoying Marty Scurll looking for a new person in Villain Enterprises?
I haven't really followed it very much, no.
So the idea
I saw that PCO want to get, like, went over again on Ring of Honor last night, and they're determined to do him and Taven again, I saw.
Yeah, and it's just like fun little things backstage. And you know what? It kind of shows that it's just something that someone's filming on someone's phone. And it's that kind of thing of, if it's just a fun idea and everyone knows what they're doing and you know what you're trying to achieve, it's entertaining. And like, I think some of the stuff gets so overthought. And, like, especially with WWE, a lot of rumours of it being rewritten as the show's going on and all this. And it's like, Like, look what he's doing with that. And obviously a lot of people are sort of not too sure where Marty Scurll's going to end up. Will he renew his contract? Will he jump ship and go to AEW with all his mates? But you know what? He's doing something there that's just kind of takes 2 minutes to do, and getting different people as he sort of works different shows with different talent. And it's funny. I can't remember the fellow they did it with, one of the luchadors. No, name's gone. But they did like a funny thing backstage there where, like, you know, it's the typical old joke of, you know, oh, you need someone who's like this. Yeah, I need someone who's like this. Well, I know someone who's just like this, and everyone, you know, knows he's talking about himself. And then Marty Scurll's like, oh, no, do you know someone? And it's like that kind of, you know, old joke. And even that was just funny. And it was like a fun 2 minute clip. And then you're watching like the Aussie Hot and you're like, oh, really? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Some people do it well.
A good idea, even done mediocrely, is better than a bad idea polished. That makes sense.
You can't polish a turd.
You can't. I've got 3 minutes left before that small man that we talked about comes in again. I can see him making himself a coffee and looking like he's ready to sit in this chair. Any other things we need to talk about quickly?
No, I think we've done a great job of rounding everything up. And there'll be, this will go up right now, and then there'll be an AEW preview coming out at some point in the next couple of days, where you'll get to hear from Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc, as well as from me and he who is currently absent, talking about the event itself.
Sounds good. And obviously keep an eye on all our social media channels as Al goes out to America, out to Vegas on his own. Al in Vegas on his own. That's like The Hangover, except super depressing. Just him, just literally eating alone. And like, imagine if he lost himself. It wouldn't happen, would it? Yeah, make sure you're following our social channels, because he's got the equipment. He's going to be chatting to people. He's going to be putting up videos. He's going to be doing stories and things like that. So at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter, Instagram, and make sure you follow our YouTube as well for any longer interviews that Al does. Just search The Pro Wrestling Show.
John, wonderful work, my friend. We will be back with another show probably tomorrow or the day after. Thank you so much for listening. This has been The Pro Wrestling Show.
Cool.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.